Do you remember last week we spoke about the woman at the well? She left her pot, her water pot, because she found something better. And what she ultimately found was her freedom, something we don't always understand as well as we should, and the prices that are paid for it. So, Father, would you bless us now as we open your word together? Thank you for the promise of giving us ears to hear and hearts, I pray, that are ready to receive it. Let us not be hearers only, but doers of your word. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, let these lips speak what you would have them say, and let us all receive it, that it would bear much fruit in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a holiday today, isn't it? We have somewhat of a holiday crowd, and you know, people are traveling and doing different things. And Memorial Day used to be known as what? Who knows? Martin gave it a trivia. What was it called way back in the day? Anybody know what Memorial Day used to be called before it was called Memorial Day? No. Decoration Day. I never heard that before. It's been a federal holiday for a while, actually since the late 1800s. Memorial Day's been around and has been celebrated in different ways. Used to be, when some of us were younger, always on May the 30th, but then they moved it to the, you know, the last Monday of May, you know, back in, I think, 1970 or 71, something like that. To remember, right? Memorial Day, we remember. What do we remember? Yeah, the price that was paid for us to live the kind of life that we live in freedom. The blood that was shed. Part of the colors of our flag were initially there in the red to remember the blood that was shed for our freedom initially back in the 1700s. Price for freedom has always been paved by the shedding of blood. But I think we forget a lot about that. We think about it, maybe have a little bit of a, you know, thought for a moment about it. Maybe if you put on TV, you'll see, you know, the standard fare, Band of Brothers and Saving Private Ryan and all the war movies will come on and they'll show that, and we might have some idea and remember some things. And you'll go into History Channel and there'll be, you know, World War One, World War Three, you know, two, not three. Hope I'm not, well, I'll let that one pass. World War One and Two and so forth. But it's easy for us to remember, though, the actual price that was paid in blood. You know, it's fun to have the freedom to travel on these weekends and do things with family and friend and have, you know, cookouts and all that kind of stuff. But it was paved with blood. Blood is very precious. I'm going to say some things now that some of you know very well. Hopefully I speak correctly and you don't chasten me for not being accurate when it comes to medical things, but blood is a very specialized thing in our bodies. You know, what's it made of? Plasma, right? Red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets. It has amazing functions in our body, including, you know, transporting oxygen and nutrients to all parts of our body, lungs and tissues. Forms blood clots so that we don't bleed out if we get cut. You know, carries cells and antibodies to fight infections in our body. It brings waste to the kidneys and the liver to filter and, you know, they clean through they filter and clean the blood. It regulates our body temperature. It runs through our veins and arteries and capillaries, and that's the way I think whole blood. And, you know, it's made up of like this 55% plasma and 45% of the blood cells, and 7 to 8% of our total body weight is in blood. The average man has about 12 pints of blood in their body, and the average woman about 9 pints. I was up at about 4:30 reading about blood. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I know that we're always making blood, but like, how does that happen? How does it just happen that we start making, you know, you donate a pint of blood, and then your body makes more blood? We're constantly making blood. I think, now this one, going by memory, so it was 4 o'clock this morning, I think it's like 120 20-some days is the life of an average blood cell or something like that. It doesn't last that long. And somebody say yes, no, huh? If you don't know, I don't know either. But they do die off eventually. We have to constantly make new blood. It's an amazing process. And the initial cells, from what I understand, come out. They don't have a nucleus, and they could form into one of the several types that we need. They just make them, and then the body, you know, God has designed our bodies to regulate to tell which one we need more of. Amazing. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Say that louder. Amen. But long before science caught up with it, the Bible told us, God told us how precious blood is. I'm talking physical blood right now. Deuteronomy 12 says, don't eat the blood. The blood is the life. Don't eat the life of the meat. I'm paraphrasing here. Don't eat the blood, but they had to pour it out when they made the sacrifice. They had to pour out the blood before they ate of the meat. There was more than likely some health reasons that God used for that, but it was the spiritual component that God was teaching them. You know, the ancient, pagan religions of that time had a practice of drinking blood when they sacrificed the animals. You know, even they drank the blood of human sacrifices. You know, they consumed the blood of their victims, you know, and they believed it possessed, you know, their enemies' might and power. In other words, you drink their blood and you have their power, and then you have power over that, and, you know, it makes you stronger, and they drank blood, and God said, no! No, you don't do that. You're different. My people are different. We don't do those things. You do not do those things that the others do. It carried on from not only the Old Testament times in Israel, but even in the New Testament when they were discussing in the early church how much of the law, if any of the law, should the church and Gentiles have to keep, and what things do they have to do. And they finally said, no, just tell them, you know, to abstain from food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, from eating the meats of strangled animals, and from consuming blood. Don't do it. Don't consume the blood. Leviticus 17, and again, I'll paraphrase it a little bit. I'll set my face against anybody, any Israelite or foreigner, you know, who eats blood. I'll cut them off from the people. The life of the creature is in the blood. I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Therefore, I say, God says, none of you may eat the blood, nor may any foreigner residing with you eat the blood. It represents life. Life of the animal. The life of the human. When blood is spilled, when they had the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, the animal's life was terminated. Sacrificing an animal's life in place of one's own life was what God had installed at the very beginning when sin came into the world through sin. God showed him that the shedding of the blood was what was required. What was required? So that the sin would be covered in that time to satisfy God's price, the payment for sin. Something had to die. The animals died in the place of people. Their blood offered to God was a temporary covering, an act of atonement. Blood had to be and was and is the symbol of life, and it had to be treated with honor. It's precious. Consuming blood in any way was forbidden. The Old Testament was over and over and over again. The sacrifices were done daily and then even annually on the Day of Atonement. All the animals, think of all the blood that was shed to cover the endless sin of mankind. And the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 9, just think how much more the blood of Christ, will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Every time that animal sacrificed, it was looking forward to Jesus when he would come and be the perfect sacrifice. If anyone is in Christ, anyone who has been born again, we say these words all the time, we're washed in his blood. You know, though your sins may be as scarlet, you now with the blood of Jesus have become white as snow. We are cleansed, we are forgiven, we're made right with God. We're freed from the power of sin through the shed blood of the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice once and for all. You know, Romans 3, God presented Jesus as the sacrifice, right? And that people, we're made right with God because of what Jesus did in the shedding of his blood. So we know today, scientifically, all about blood and what it does in our bodies. We know how precious it is. We cannot live without blood. And blood loss, I mean, you need to stop the loss of blood as soon as possible because you can bleed out and die. And we know how precious it is to human life, but how much more precious is it when it comes to the life of the perfect Lamb of God who shed his blood so that we can have life. See, no other natural ingredient can replace blood. Nothing else can replace the blood of Jesus Christ when it comes to our salvation and eternal life. You know, as the fluid in our bodies is life to our bodies, you know, the blood of Jesus is eternal life to everyone who receives it and has been washed by it. So Jesus paid for our freedom, our independence, and the price was his blood through the blood that he shed on the cross. And even though now you and I, now who are in Christ, have that freedom, we have this freedom in Christ, we have to remember something. That freedom that he purchased for us came with a price. It wasn't free. It wasn't cheap. It was the price of his blood. He was fully poured out so that we can be fully forgiven. It tells us in 1 Corinthians that we were bought with a price. And he says, because we're bought from a price, don't become slaves now. Don't fall back into slavery. Don't fall back into the slavery of sin. Don't fall slavery to other people or other things. You're free. You are free. Galatians chapter 5, Colin will throw it up on the screen. And verse 1, it says it this way, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. How? Through his blood, right? Being shed. And do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Some translations say it this way, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we talk about Memorial Day, we talk about the price of the blood, which is, again, precious blood of those that have gone before us that have paid that price for our freedom in the temporal sense, but it's for freedom, eternal freedom, full freedom, real freedom that has been purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He tells us then, so if you have that freedom, stand in it. Do you know, so many of those, even the founders of our country, they said, you know, from the beginning, you know, this is great. We got all this freedom. Can we keep it? will the next generations be able to keep it? Will they remember it? And will they be able to keep this freedom? It's a question even asked of ourselves today. You know, we talk about freedom. Do we really understand freedom? I think that we really do not understand it the way that we should. Not only as a nation of people, but specifically today, as we sit here, most of us, if not all of us, as free in Christ, born again, children of the living God, do we understand what that fully means? That all of our sins have been forgiven, that we are free. The Bible says that Christ, Jesus, has truly set us free. Paul used this term, he liked to use the term liberty so much. And he would talk about his liberty. He said, I have liberty to do anything. I'm free. The blood of Jesus has set me free. He says, now I'm not going to use that liberty for anything that's going to bring me down or to bring others down or to, you know, go against the name of, or sully the name of my God. I won't do that. He said, but I'm free. I'm free. And again, it says here, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And then Paul in Galatians kept telling the church then, don't go back into bondage in any way. Don't go back. Don't bind, but have yourself bound up again. You are free in Christ. Chapter 3 of Galatians says this in verse 21 through 25. It says, the law then is against the promises of God. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So in other words, if God would just make a law to give us righteousness and freedom, he would have just made that law. He says, but the scripture concluded, all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should be afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. We don't need it anymore. We're free. We are free indeed. We lived under bondage before with Christ. We were bound to everything, and we were bound to our sin, which meant we were bound to eternal separation from God in hell, and we had no way of escape. We thought we were free, but we were really bound. We said, we'll live my own life any way I choose to live my life, but yet we're bound. And the dictates by which we would live or even set for ourselves were all those things that were adding heavier chains to us to drag us more into hell. And we said we're free, but we were not. But Christ's death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, obviously his subsequent resurrection, broke the bondage that we had to the law, which was sin and death. The law told us you're sinners, and the law said that you will die because of your sin. But Jesus died on the cross to set us free from all of that. And he fulfilled it completely by the blood he shed on the cross. John 8, Jesus said it himself. He said, if the Son sets you free, say it with me, you'll be free indeed. Complete freedom. You know, we like to think, hey, we're Americans, we're free. We're not as free as we think we are. You know, we have a lot of things that we believe. A lot of people think today, you know, well, freedom is this and freedom is that. But, you know, we're bound up today by a lot more laws and a lot more restrictions than we ever have been. Again, as a people, as a nation of people, we don't understand the freedom that initially came, that was purchased for us back in the 1700s. And we've made ourselves bound in a lot of ways, but I'm not here to talk about that. But like as Christians, we forget sometimes that when we come to Jesus Christ and we've been washed, we are free indeed. But then Paul says, okay, you're free indeed. Now stand fast in that liberty. Stand fast in that freedom which Christ made you free. Stand fast. You have to anchor yourself in. You need to stay in it. You can't go back into bondage again. You can't find yourself back to where you were before, and maybe even worse. You know, sometimes it's actually worse in many ways when someone comes to Christ. Now, when I say worse, yes, if you're born again, ultimately you're going to be in heaven and glory. So that part is not worse. But many times people come to Christ and they are set free by the grace of God through faith alone. But yet they put themselves back under bondage again. And their condition from a temporal, from an earthly standpoint, is worse than it was before. They go into church and they bind themselves up with so many different rules and so many regulations and so many this's and that's and those and confusion that they come out worse from the human standpoint than before. Paul says, no, walk in this freedom. You're free. Don't bound yourself, get yourself bound up again. Don't be entangled again, he says, with the yoke of bondage. And when we find ourselves free, we sometimes don't know what to do with it. There's a lot been written about a lot of the slaves in the United States, you know, when they were set free, when the Emancipation Proclamation came under Lincoln. He said, you know, a lot of them, when they were set free, they told them, you're free. They didn't understand what freedom was. They didn't understand what that meant. A lot of them never wanted to leave. you know, their masters. They were afraid to go out. They were afraid, what is freedom? How do I walk in this freedom? Am I really free? What does that mean for me? And many of them chose to stay because they didn't know what to expect and how to walk in that freedom. Israel itself, we have a great lesson in the scriptures. Israel was in bondage in Egypt for all those years, slaves, crying out for the freedom. We want to be free. And God sends Moses, and they're delivered, you know. And the whole idea is when then Pharaoh died in the Red Sea and his armies, they were on the other side completely free. But yet that generation who begged for it did not know how to walk in the freedom. God told them what to do. He showed them what to do. But they were afraid to enter into their freedom. Afraid to walk in the freedom that Christ, that God had purchased for them, you know, in that time, you know, to bring them out of Egypt. They were no longer bound as slaves to Pharaoh. It was over. You're free people. And because of their unbelief to follow what God showed them to do, they wandered aimlessly through the desert for 40 years. And many Christians, we find ourselves doing the same thing. We're free, but we wander aimlessly, bound up by so many other things. It is for freedom, church, that Christ has set us free. Not freedom that we think that is anarchy, doing whatever we want. The freedom that is in Christ that shows us this. It tells us, in fact, you're talking about Ecclesiastes, you know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon says, yep, I drank it all. I had sex with it all. I bought it all, I sold it all, I did this, I did this, I did anything I wanted to do, and you guess what? It's all nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Paul said, I am free. I am free. I have liberty to do whatever I want. But I'm not going to do any of those things because those things that we think that are free, that make us free, are actually things that will bind us up again. Oh, I'm free now. I'm in Christ. I could drink alcohol all I want. I'll never get drunk and never get addicted to it. Oh, yeah, you will. And not only will you mess up your life, but you'll blow your testimony and you'll disgrace your father in heaven. I mean, you know, so that's not the freedom. It's the freedom for us not to do what we want to do. It's the freedom for us to serve God in the way that he has called us to serve him and to serve other people and to glorify our Father in heaven and to live this life that God said, listen, when you follow me in the way that I tell you to go, you'll experience freedom like you've never experienced it before. I can see from the looks of some of us who are like, what? I don't understand that. Because many of us have never tried it. We walk according to regulations that we or others set up, not the freedom that has been purchased for us in Christ. The freedom to love as Jesus loved. The freedom to serve somebody else. The freedom to consider the other person better than yourself. Jesus was the most free person ever, right? The man Christ Jesus who came to the, he was the most free person ever. And what did he use his freedom for? To give his life for us, to serve. Nobody made him do it. He wasn't bound to do it. He willingly laid down his life. He willingly came to serve, to set us free. So people, something, pursuit of freedom, to do whatever we want to do, that's a false liberty. That's a false freedom. That's more bondage. The liberty is our, you know, the liberty is our freedom from the tyranny of having to do things to earn our way to God or to appease God or to do other things or the tyranny of saying that I have to find more to please myself because that's a never-ending pursuit. And that's where the bondage is. So stand fast in that liberty. Jesus has declared us free when we're in Christ. The yoke of bondage to satisfy our Father's wrath in heaven has been fully, you know, the wrath of God has been fully satisfied. We are free now to live a life knowing that we have peace with God, that we have joy that comes from him, that he may meet every need in our provision. He'll even get the air conditioners fixed for us so we don't have to sweat next Sunday. I mean, God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. When we come and trust and say, Father, I come to you. Father, will my life be orchestrated in such a way? I want my life to be orchestrated by you, to serve you, to serve others, to glorify you. We were dead in sins, now we're set free. And that freedom is not a license to sin, but a free, a license to live a life free in holiness unto God. And he gives us everything we need, the Bible says, to live that life. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness, the Bible says. So Galatians again, chapter 5, says, brethren, in verse 13 through 15, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Don't use the liberty that we have in Christ, church, to consume it on yourselves, to consume it as an opportunity to run roughshod over other people, but as an opportunity to serve others, the call to liberty, to know that we are free to serve others in the power of God. Don't use it as an opportunity to serve your own flesh. That is just a dangerous way to go. But many of us think about, you know, I'm in Christ, I'm free, but what do I do next? How do I satisfy me more? No, how do I glorify my Father? How do I serve somebody else? In that way, the law is fulfilled. The law of love, the law of peace, the law of God. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, one, you first must be in Christ. Because if you're not in Christ, you are a slave to sin, a slave to death. It's only the precious blood of Jesus, the perfect lamb that was sacrificed on the cross, it's only by the shedding of his blood are people set free. But you must enter into that by faith. You must believe that you are a sinner, means that you're bound in your sin. You cannot escape it on your own. And then you cannot only not escape your sin, but you cannot escape the result of your sin, which is eternal separation from God. And you say, I'm done. I'm lost. I need a Savior. And you hear the gospel. Some hear it today. You may tell somebody about the gospel later. You may, somebody may hear it when they turn on the radio. Some may hear it if somebody hands them a tract. Some may hear it if they walk by a church door where they're preaching the gospel and they have the doors open because the air conditioner's not on, so they couldn't, the word goes outside, which we should probably do. The cars, we put it. And they hear it, and they go, oh. And the Holy Spirit brings them and illuminates their heart and mind, and they turn to Jesus Christ. And when they do so by faith, and they appropriately repent and turn from sin and by faith receive his forgiveness. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood. Blood is messy. Blood stains. Blood is one of the hardest things to get out of any type of fabric or off of any surface. But the blood of Jesus, instead of staining us, washes us. It takes the stain of sin and scrubs it away. And that's the blood of Jesus makes us white as snow. So the first thing we must do is to be saved, be born again, be washed in his blood. And then it says in Galatians, once you do that, he says this, now stand fast in that freedom. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he says, listen, walk now in that freedom that you have by the power of the Holy Spirit that I have given you that has come to live within you. And who is the Holy Spirit? But God. The power of God living within us, that if we walk with the Spirit or by the Spirit, then he gives us the power to live this life of liberty, this life of freedom, this life that was purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, those who are very legalistic in their Christian walk, this scares them. They think that, oh no, if we tell people they're free, they'll just make the wrong choices. No, but if we're free in Christ and we're walking by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is never going to make you sin. The Holy Spirit is never going to drive you to sin. In fact, he'll keep convicting you of any sin that's in your life so that you can repent and you can say, Lord, help me, forgive me, and help me to walk as I should. To walking in the Spirit that lives within us, to be sensitive to the influence of the Spirit, to mean that our pattern of our life is in step. That's what it really means. The pattern of our life, our Christian walk, we talk all the time about Christian walk. Our Christian walk means that the pattern of life, walking in the Spirit, is we walk in pattern with the Holy Spirit. We're walking in concert with him, right along with him, right along with him, right along with him. And when we do that daily, we do not fulfill the lust of our flesh, but we fulfill the desires of our Father in heaven, listening to what the Holy Spirit says as he guides us and leads us into all truth. Martin Luther said this about the lust of the flesh. He says, I do not deny that the lust of the flesh includes carnal lust, but it takes in more. It takes in all the corrupt desires with which believers are more and less infected as pride, hatred, covetousness, and patience. In other words, whatever those things of our flesh, he says, we can have the victory over those things as we walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit. We're no longer bound by the law. We're no longer bound by those things. This whole idea of remembering, which you and I should be doing today, remember those that have given their lives for our freedom here in this country. Remember them. Honor their lives in that way. Ask yourself from the standpoint, how can I tell others about that freedom that we have, and how can we really enjoy this freedom to live properly? You know, many of the previous generations in this country, regardless of their stand with Christ, really believed that freedom here in the United States meant to help other people, to serve other people. There was a real desire to help your neighbor, to help other people. That's been long lost in many areas, many circles. You know, we'd be a better society if people would just remember that, you know, that we're here to serve something greater than ourselves. But we ourselves as Christians today can remember that, look, regardless of our state of our country, I have been set free from something more than just the tyranny of a earthly dictator. I've been set free from the tyranny of death. And my life is now free to live. I have complete liberty by the blood of Jesus Christ that he purchased for me. Now, Father, let me search my heart. Lord, would you search my heart and reveal any wicked thing with me and show me where I am using the liberty that I have to serve myself as opposed to serving you and others. And then once we remember that, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to turn that around. Lord, I want to get in step with your Holy Spirit. I want to hear your words to my heart. I want to live for you. I want my freedom in you to matter to the world around me that needs to see what a truly free individual is. And there are people today in Christ that are in some of the most, under the worst tyrants today and the tyrannical forms of government who are completely free. They have no earthly freedoms, but they're free in Christ. They could be a North Korean in Christ, and they are set free, and they're walking in freedom. Church, are we doing that today in a country that still considers itself free? I think we take our freedom for granted, not only in the U.S. of A., but in the lives of the church. Father, help me to see how I should be living. Help me to see how I should be walking in step with your Holy Spirit. Help me to see where I am not really walking in true Christian liberty by the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me remember the price that was paid. See, our external problems and difficulties don't change what happens within us. We think that if our circumstances externally will change, we'll just do a better job. No, actually what happens is the more we do, the more we'll be selfish and want those things never to change again. It's not the external, it's the internal that needs to change. Lord, help me. As I think Augustine once said, or prayed, supposedly prayed, Lord, deliver me from that evil man, myself. Help me to walk in the freedom purchased by the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus satisfied God's righteous judgment over us. He is our propitiation. We have been justified by the blood of Jesus. We've been accepted by the Holy Father in heaven because of what Jesus did. We are completely redeemed. We are completely set free. We have peace with God. Peter said, for as much as you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Would we remember today the price that was paid? Well, we ask the Lord, are we walking in this liberty that has been purchased for us? And if not, Father, would you show us those areas in our life that must change? And Father, would you today help me to live in concert with your Holy Spirit, in the pattern of the Holy Spirit? There's time coming very soon It is. It's coming soon, I believe. I don't know the hours or the days. But the time is coming very soon that the most tyrannical form of government will be upon this earth for a 7-year period, with the dictator, if you will, the tyrant, being the Antichrist. And during that time, the church will not be here, but there will be people getting saved, people being set free from eternal hell and being set free to live during that time, as long as they're able to live, as long as God allows them to live during that. And you know what the Bible says about them? You've heard these scriptures, this word before, and it's one of the closing, because we think again, how can we do this? Well, it tells us this way. In the flesh, during that 7-year time of tribulation, with all the odds stacked against them for freedom, it says they overcame those that came to Christ. And it says in chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him, Antichrist, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, that I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I am free indeed. And they did not love their lives unto death. Meaning, I'm not here to serve myself. I'm here to serve my Father. And it doesn't matter what happens to me. I know where I'm going. I pray others would go with me. Father, help us today to remember the price that was paid for our salvation. Father, thank you for the blood that courses through our veins. It's amazing, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But Lord, our focus today is on the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed for our sin, the blood that poured from his body to the point where he gave up the ghost, that blood that was shed to wash away the sin of the world. Lord, I pray for those who have not yet received it. Lord, they would come to you in their sin and cry out and ask you to wash them and cleanse them, to be born again into your family, that their sins would be washed white as snow. And then, Father, help them and all of your children to remember the liberty by which we've been purchased, the freedom that we've been purchased by that blood, and that we walk now in that freedom. And in that freedom, Lord, that would glorify you and would serve others, that others would see that freedom in us and they would long for what we have, and that, Lord, we would be able to show them the one who died, the Lamb that laid down his life, the Lamb who poured out his blood so that we could live, and they too may come to know you. So, Father, we give this to you. We thank you today. Open our eyes to see how we're living, and let us make the corrections necessary in Jesus' name.